I mean, for any Indian runner, Boston is a dream. Yeah, to first of all, to be Boston qualified, I would say that there are not more than 15 or 20 runners in India who are actually Boston qualified.
Welcome to the Runners Connect Run to the Top podcast, where it's all about learning from the best minds in the sport so you can train smarter, stay healthy, and run faster now. And now your host, Tina Muir.
Hello, this is Tina Muir. Thank you so much for being here with me today for the latest episode of the Runners Connect Run to the Top podcast. Last week, you heard from one of the most motivational speakers I've ever heard through the interview with Dick Beardsley. And if you missed it, make sure you go back and take a listen. I've had a lot of positive feedback about how varied the interviews are, and I intend to keep that going and keep looking for new running related channels, I guess is the rest word, to find guests you will want to hear from. I thought it was about time we heard from someone in a different culture. Somewhere there's not as much access to the latest and greatest gadget, and somewhere where only a handful of people have actually run a sub-3 marathon. After some help from a fellow listener, I found Bobby Phillip, a well-known Indian runner and someone who had a great story to tell. I emailed Bobby and he responded quickly. After a few emails back and forth, I could tell he was going to be a fantastic guest. And of course he was, and I'm sure you're going to love him too. So let's dive in. Who is Bobby? Well, he was the first Indian to run the Boston Marathon barefoot in 2015. He has PRs of 38:24 in the 10K, 1:25:24 in the half, and 3:15:30 in the full marathon. He lives in Bangalore and works for Nokia. Or Nokia, I guess you guys may say. Today, Bobby and I are going to talk about why a Boston qualifier has become the ultimate dream come true for an Indian runner. I was kind of surprised, and I asked him why it wasn't London, because personally, I love London. No, I'm just kidding. I haven't raced Boston yet, so once I do, maybe that will be my favorite. I asked him what it's like running and training in India, specifically in Bangalore, and how Bobby transitioned to barefoot running, and why you should maybe consider it too. All right, so that's enough from me. Let's meet Bobby. Welcome to the Run to the Top podcast, Bobby.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Oh, no, it's our pleasure having you on here. So let's kind of talk firstly about your running journey. You first started running in 2009 while you were training your daughter. You mentioned that you had a high cholesterol and a high fat percentage, but I'm guessing you were also maybe overweight during that time as well. But do you want to kind of tell us how you've kind of progressed? You mentioned in an interview that you struggled to run a 1K at first. So can you kind of tell us about how you've developed as you have continued to run?
Yeah, so you got that right. So, you know, my running career was a bit accidental. So my daughter had her school sports meet, and I just thought that she should be a bit prepared before she participates in the school sports. So that's when we actually started running. Just besides my house, there is a 200 meters garden. Mm-hmm. And we were just running together around the garden. So I never had a sports background. So I have never been in any sort of a sports, either in my school or college days. Mm-hmm. So this was very new to me. And also, in early days in my career, I used to smoke. I also used to drink. So sports was just never in my blood. So yeah. So when I started running with my daughter, I would survive around 400 meters, and then that was enough. And then the next day, I could do 2 + 1, 3. And then the third day, I could increase it by one more. I could make it 4 rounds. And by the fifth day, I could do 5 rounds without a break. So almost a kilometer I could do by the fifth day. So I could actually see myself progressing day by day. So that itself was quite motivating to me. Mm-hmm. And I think by a week's time, my daughter's sports event was over. She stopped, but I continued because it was quite motivating and good to see a visible progress daily. In 2 weeks, I did not even have a proper running shoe. So I bought a shoe, and then I was introduced to a running club nearby. I joined the running club, and that's where everything changed for me. Mm-hmm. So there were amazing people in the running club. So there were youngsters who could do, I would see them running 3 to 4 kilometers without a break. Itself was quite unbelievable to me. And I would see, 55-year-old people, amazing runs, very fast and very efficient. So it was completely a different world for me when I saw this running club. So quite a lot of inspirations. And in around 2 months, I could do a 10-kilometer race without a single walk in between the 10K. So I did my first 10K in 59 minutes, which for me was just unbelievable. Mm-hmm. That I could,
yeah, I'd say I for could a lot of people.
Yeah. I mean, to do it without walking in between was just, it was just not me. Yeah. So that's how it started. And then, it continued the journey. So.
Yeah, no, I think that's great for us to hear. And you can kind of answer this a bit in a minute, but it seems like, I feel like in the US or in the UK, it would be where, if we started running, like you said, just running 2 laps around, running a 400 or even running an 800, I feel like there's so much you see so many people posting about marathons and all kinds of things on social media that you would almost feel like that wasn't enough, because all we see, all we are bombarded with day by day is how much people do. So yeah. I love that you were able to see that progression, even though initially, like you said, it was only, making it up to a K where you ran without stopping. But would you say in India it's the same kind of thing where you do see a lot of that, or is there not that kind of constant comparison aspect of it?
So in India, schools and colleges do not encourage. I mean, I wouldn't say do not encourage, but there is no initiative, not much initiative from the schools and colleges. Mm-hmm. So it's quite common there are a lot of youngsters who have never been into sports. There are quite a lot who are active with cricket. Cricket and hockey are two. Cricket, hockey, you can also include football, are quite interesting. Actively played sports over here. Mm-hmm. But athletic events like running, it's not so common.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that's changing now? Is it becoming more popular?
I mean, not yet in the schools and colleges, though. So it's still not yet in the base level. But as one crosses 30 years, 30, 35, it's getting, then that's when the general people realize that, I'm either putting on additional weight, or I have cholesterol or some similar health issues. And then they realize, I need to start, being a bit more conscious, and they start running. Mm-hmm. That's how it begins.
Yeah.
Normally.
Yeah. And then yourself, you said about you had some health issues and things. And did you notice that you started to feel better within yourself, within just your daily life, because of the running, like pretty quickly?
Oh, yeah. I mean, for me, my life has changed. So everything in my life has changed since the moment I started running. So almost from day one, I never used to talk about sports because I've never been a sportsman. I was exactly the opposite. Mm-hmm. So everything has changed for me.
Yeah.
And the key reason is because I could actually see every day a progression, mm-hmm. A visible progression, and which would really make me very happy.
Yeah.
With what I was doing.
So what would you like to say to people listening right now who are considering giving running a try, or anyone who wants to kind of think about running but they aren't sure whether it's right for them because they've never like you had done sports or never been particularly active?
Yeah, I mean, it's just taking the first step out, go for a job, go for a run, find a small community or a companion who could motivate, who could inspire you to keep, you know, to keep improving, to keep learning more and more. Mm-hmm. So start with small steps and progress at ease. So that is, I think, most important.
Yep, absolutely.
And then there is a whole lot of opportunity. So then it starts off with a 1K, then go to a 5K, 10K, and it just goes on and on.
Mm-hmm. And is that crazy for you to think about now that, you know, you struggled on that first day and now you've progressed all the way up to like a marathon and even further, and you know, is it weird for you to think back that first day, you know, you struggled so much?
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. I mean, not just for me, even for my friends who knew me in my early days.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was never this person that time. So it's just unbelievable what I'm doing and what I continue to do, you know.
Yeah.
So I mean, what is still, you know, what still amazes me is that I'm still improving. So which you know, when I think of it, I think it's impossible, but when I see the results, I see there is still improvement. Mm-hmm. Happening.
Definitely. And I think that's something that we all learn as runners is, you know, it's so much in the mind that we can actually do so much more than we give ourselves credit for. We just have to be able to believe that we can do it and kind of trust that we can do it. So you're a great example of that. And then, so you ran Boston this year, the first Indian to run Boston Marathon barefoot. And we will talk about barefoot running in a minute. But I was just curious, is the Boston Marathon an event runners strive for in India? Or was that just your own personal, you'd kind of heard of it and wanted to try?
I mean, for any Indian runner, Boston is a dream. Yeah, first of all, to be Boston qualified. I would say that there are not more than 15 or 20 runners in India who are actually Boston qualified.
Wow.
I'm keeping the elite runners aside who do sub 3. So there are not many. I mean, sub 3, there would be, I would assume, not more than 20, 25 runners who would do a sub 3.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, there might be, around 15 to 20 who have been Boston qualified at least once.
Wow.
So it's a very small number. And, you know, there are a lot of people who train so hard, so dedicated. They work, you know, they are so committed to just to get Boston qualified. And once they're qualified, then everyone wants to then experience it, experience the event. So year on year, there are at least 4 or 5 new members who get Boston qualified.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a prestigious thing to have participated in Boston. Yeah.
Why is it you think it's Boston over, you know, one of the other, you know, Chicago or London or Berlin? Why do you think it's Boston that's so prestigious?
Yeah, that's a good point. But I think it's basically just the constraints that they put in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So New York, now I know that, you know, they have even more tighter criteria. But Boston has been, one is it's the oldest of the lot. It's quite popular in India, much more popular than the Berlin, London, Chicago, New York. They are just gaining popularity. Boston, I think, is a bit more popular.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot who have done the Boston, and they come here. We keep track of their progress, you know, how they have been during the race, how they have been performing. So it's quite a celebration over here that time.
Yeah.
During the race, quite a celebration. And then everyone is involved. They see, they hear. And then, you know, it's like, even I need to do this sometime. You know, so they train for it. The first time, probably they may not. Second time, they get qualified, and then it's a dream. You know, they just want to do it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And how old were you when you qualified? That was last year, I guess. If you ran it this year, you qualified last year. How old were you when you did that?
I would say 48.
Okay, great.
I was, yeah.
Okay. And then, so what was it like coming to the US to run Boston? Have you been here before, and what was it like? Culture, like, was a big culture shock, or Would you like to share?
I mean, I have traveled the globe, so it wasn't a cultural shock as such. But, you know, I was never... I'm not a person who, as of today, don't enjoy traveling much. So when I left home, I wasn't too eager. Or I wasn't too excited to be, I wasn't that looking forward to participate in the race. It's just that a peer pressure from everyone. Oh, you're Boston qualified. You need to do it. You have to experience it. So with that peer pressure, and I had my coach with me. So both of us. And so it was also time with him, spending time with him. So, yeah, so I just registered myself and both of us together planned it. Excitement wasn't so much, but once I reached Boston and when I saw the overall the enthusiasm in the city and, when we saw the start line, the preparations happening, when we saw the expo, And the different stalls, meeting people, talking to, almost everyone is a legend over there. So I talked to a couple of people who are 50 year plus, and when they say they have done full comfortably in 3 hours and 3 hours 2 minutes, for us it's just impossible. We don't have that sort of runners over here. Very few actually are capable of doing a 3 hours at that age.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, it was completely a different world over there. And then experiencing the run by itself was again, I can talk lots about the event. And also my barefoot experience was quite exciting. Literally everyone who saw me just could not believe that someone can do barefoot in that, and that in that cold weather. So overall, a lot of attention I got, and a lot of people inquired. And at the finish line, it was the media which came and interviewed me and clicked some few photographs. And then the attention which I got after that was just unbelievable.
Really, what when you say attention you got from it, what did that involve?
It was like that one photograph of mine with two of my friends was clicked at the finish line. That went viral. It was like across Facebook, across Twitter. It was like almost everyone in the world is telling me that, oh, we saw you, we saw your photograph, we saw this. Oh my, it was. I mean, there was one of the media over here. They had posted that photograph that had got over 20,000 likes. They had around some 1,500 people shared that photograph. It was just, I am in a different world. I'm not a celebrity.
Well, you are
to get
now.
That sort of an attention, it was just unbelievable for me. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And the race itself, was it what you imagined? Or I know a lot of people say they expect it to be loud and they expect it to be a big deal, but the crowds and the energy on the race, like, it exceeds every expectation. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. For me, I have never had an event where there are 100 people running along with me. Yeah? Mm-hmm. So usually at my pace, there are hardly few people who run with me in any local events in India. So for me, having 100 people around from the start till the end is completely a different experience. The full event from the start till the finish was will be there in my memories for long.
Do you think you'll come back, or is it like you just wanted to do it and it's like a check on a bucket list?
Now the question is the finance. I need to spend quite a lot, so I would rather do experience some other event rather than doing the same thing again.
Mm-hmm.
So might be like Berlin or Chicago or something like this, or any other event in the other.
Yep, definitely. And then just something a bit strange. Did you notice, like, obviously you speak very good English, but I'm sure some of the other Indian runners who do qualify are maybe not as confident in their English skills. But do you think that running kind of creates this like universal language where it like breaks those language barriers, because everyone's out there together going through the same struggles, and kind of, you know, a lot of people go out too fast at Boston and then end up paying for it. Did you feel like everyone could kind of work together regardless of where they were from?
Yeah, so I wouldn't say the language barrier. So within India, I would talk more on the cultural barrier and the financial status. So the rich and the poor, you know, all the different castes, different creeds, everyone coming together. So that's something in the sport. So whether, for example, in one of the 10K events, I had the CEO of one of the topmost companies in India just besides me in the start line. So in the sport, it's like whether, you know, whatever position you carry, all of us are the same. You know, the rich, the poor, all of us love each other, take care of each other, we hug each other. So there's no money in this, there's no religion in the sport. You know, we are all together and we just all together enjoy this.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Yeah.
That was great. Thank you. That's exactly the kind of thing I'd hoped for. So kind of, yeah. I think everyone would love to hear a little more about running in India. Like you mentioned, you know, how rare it is for someone to run a Boston qualifier. And, you know, I'm guessing you with your 315, you're pretty high up in the rankings. But just in general with running, you mentioned at the school and the base level, but what about just people picking up running? Like how common is it for people to run in India?
Yeah, I mean, still now the number one event, which is the only international full marathon event happening in India, that's got only 3,500 full marathoners.
Wow.
And that also, it takes, you know, a lot of time to get full. So half marathon, which has over 12,000 to 13,000 registrations, that gets filled up faster than the full marathon, which is just 3,500. So it's still a long way to go. So people are just coming up. They're just learning the sport. They're just building up. And very big challenge here is that almost over 50 to 60% of the new runners are getting injured. Yeah, this is very common. So almost every day I would get a message saying that, I have so-and-so injury, what needs to be done, please let me know, you know, if there is something that I can do. So there are not many good coaches in our country. So there are very few coaches and also not many are qualified coaches, if I say so, you know.
Yeah.
So it's the good runners who then the coaches and then they train the new runners, and then the new runners see, oh wow, he has done the half, he's done the full. They just plan, you know, they just think of doing a half and a full in less than a year, and then in the process they get injured, and again they either leave the sport or there are challenges in the sport in the country. I think it would take a bit more time. It's growing. It's really growing very well.
Right.
So the number of events, maybe 5 years back, there would have been just 4 or 5 events in the country. As of now, I'm sure there are almost 100 events happening a year in this country. So
great.
If not more. Yeah.
And then what about like with training, like for locations or climate, what kind of like terrains are you running on? Like, I'm just curious as to what it, give us more of a feel of what it's like.
Yeah. So we, you know, in India, again, the infrastructure still we are challenged with. So in Bangalore, you wouldn't believe it, we have only one good stadium. Yeah. So the full city, the population of the city would be, you know, over a 10 million population, and the city has got only one stadium. Again, we have lots of constraints in the stadium. So, for example, we are not allowed to train for more than a specific number of hours over there. Then we have been told to move out. So with these sort of challenges, and again, the roads, anytime after 7, the traffic movement starts, and again, we are challenged over there. So we then try to go a bit away from the city, find out some good places, do our long runs over there. So it's not very easy. It has its own challenges, especially for the amateur marathon runners, basically, for them to need to run a bit more mileage through the week. A bit of challenges, but then, we are used to it. So we cannot complain so much. So we know that this is how it is. So we do our regular trainings, but under the challenging circumstances.
Yeah. No, and I guess it makes you kind of appreciate it a bit more. And was it almost kind of overwhelming when you were in Boston, seeing, you know, how many different like gadgets and resources and just things there were available? Especially, I'm sure you went to the expo. Was it a little bit overwhelming?
Yeah, it is. I mean, more than the expo, when I had few of my friends. So I was in Boston, and then I also went to California. And I saw the for example, the high schools. Every high school has a complete sports facility. I saw the tracks that they have. Just unbelievable for us. Yeah, none of our schools have this. None of our schools over here would have the infrastructure or this sort of a facility. You do not. Our schools do not have the luxury of having so much of space around. So Americans, and I'm sure even in Europe, I know a lot of my colleagues who are in Germany, Finland. There's quite a lot of infrastructure and facilities available for the schools and colleges, which we do not have it. So.
Yeah, definitely. And then what would you say about groups? Like, I know in the US, I don't see too many running clubs apart from in the big cities, but I know in England, running clubs are huge. I mean, obviously they're not going to be huge because you mentioned, you know, not that many people run, but with using the track and things, are being a part of a running group, is that quite common for the runners?
Yeah. Yeah, so here, at least in Bangalore, which is one of the most popular cities in running, so you would find quite a lot of running activities happening in Bangalore and Bombay compared to any other city in India. So here, running groups are far more popular, you know, and each running group has got its own specialty, its own reasons for everyone to join a running group. And the bonding within the group is far more over here than I would see in the other country. So there's lot of emotional bonding, attachments, reasons for everyone to run together, to be together. This is much, I would say, much more in India than in the US or in Europe.
Yeah.
I've seen that culture over there. So then I don't think everyone would run together. That's fine, but the kind of bonding and attachment within a group is far more in India. I think so.
Interesting. Oh, thank you for sharing that. That is interesting. And then you mentioned earlier that, you know, a lot of runners that do start end up getting injured and get disheartened and maybe give up the sport. And you've said that you have a great coach, Coach Pani. Am I saying that right? Or how do you say it? Yeah. So you knew to use warm-ups and cool-downs, stretching, strengthening from pretty much the start of your running career. But most runners don't know about that, or at least over here, they pretend they don't know about it. But how did you know to do that kind of stuff from the start to keep you from getting injured? Was that your coach, or was that you just kind of had read about it somewhere?
Yeah, so I would say when we joined the running club, my coach was also with me. So he wasn't a coach at that time, but this running club had this culture of starting off with proper warm-ups and then do the run, and then cool downs and strengthening and stretching after that. So we just continued to have the similar structure. So when he became a coach, he continued to have the same structure of very good warm-ups. So our warm-ups are even more tougher than a high-intensity 10K run. So that's the kind of warm-ups we do sometimes.
So what would that be? What would you do for a warm-up?
I'm not sure what are the names for the defense. So it's all the drills, the various running drills that you do. Yeah, the drills, we spend around 10-15 minutes on that. And then we do a bit of dynamic squats, lunges. And then sometimes we do the skipping workouts mm-hmm. of around 5 to 7 minutes. So all of this together, 30 minutes is, by the end of 30 minutes, you have sweated it out, completely sweated it out.
And that's before you run.
And it's almost like, you know, after the 30 minutes, almost like saying, oh, we have finished our workout, now that's it.
So the run and is the easy part.
Yeah, and we have not even started with the run. So.
Interesting. And then, so Coach Pani, has he had a huge influence on your running in general? Like, would you say, you know, a lot of your success has been down to his technique and his, you know, workouts and things?
Absolutely. Yeah. So as I said, when I joined the running club, there were a group of inspiring personalities over there. And then Coach Pani, he became my running buddy. We used to run together. So a lot of my running is purely because of him. So he's been an amazing mentor to me, and he's extremely matured person. So extremely matured, always the proper decisions. He would take some risks, but calculated risks, because, you know, that's how we learn. But it's been an amazing journey, and I put it only because of my coach.
Oh, that's great. And from what I see, you know, he makes injury-free running and you know, getting personal bests the priority here, which is obviously going to be the focus. And especially as you mentioned, so many people do get injured. That's great to see that is a priority for him as well. So you added me to the Bangalore runners group on Facebook, and I found it really interesting kind of seeing the things that people write. And, you know, this is a place for runners in India or Bangalore in particular to kind of share advice and kind of meet other people, but, you know, that's a great resource. But where else do people find advice in India if they are looking for, you know, advice on running? Do they type, is it on the internet, or where would you say people go for advice?
So most popular places would be the running group. So they would have a running buddy, running group. And the veterans in the group would be the, you know, would be the sort of coaches for the group. So that's one. And internet will be sure in the cities, internet. That's where this, I try to promote this running group, Bangalore Runners, where you can educate people. So, so you ask questions, and there are a lot of experts in the group. So someone or the other can answer many of them. So these are usually coaches, as I said, not many, There are few, and coaches also, there are certain constraints. So, you know, everyone does not want to commit that sort of a time to be spent for the sport and a specific day of the week for so many hours. So that has got its own challenges. So that's where many of them do not join a coach. They just do it by themselves.
So I'm guessing that would be for anyone listening right now, if you are kind of training on your own, and you know, your biggest piece of advice based on what you see is to either find a coach or find a group so you can avoid those injuries and prevent things like that happening and things going wrong, and so you stay in the sport.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think the first 1 year, the base building part is the most critical, and that's where a lot of challenges come in. So if everyone is careful and not over ambitious and want to do a full marathon in a year, that's where the problem starts coming in.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah.
Okay. And then let's talk about your barefoot running. You mentioned that you ran Boston barefoot. So how did you transition to running barefoot? Like, what made you decide to do it? And how did you slowly build up to the point to where you could run a marathon barefoot?
Yeah, so this was in the year 2012. One is I had a feeling that I was getting stagnated. I was not improving. So I had a feel that I wouldn't improve on my timing or on my pace. And so that was one. And second is I've been hearing quite a lot about barefoot running. I wouldn't say quite a lot, but I've been hearing about barefoot running.
Mm-hmm.
And third thing was, you know, I was injured. I had Achilles tendonitis problem, and I wasn't running for a small period of almost a week.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the correct time that, you know, I just thought I would go out and just try a barefoot walk and a barefoot run. So I just went one evening when I was sitting at home. I was nothing much to be done. I never told my family members that I'm going out barefoot, because barefoot is absolute no. Yeah, absolute no, because roads are not clean, and there is, like, you know, there can be glass pieces, nails, and junk. You know, there can be dog shit or cow dung in the streets. So it's absolute no barefoot. So I never told my family. I just went out of my house, and I did. You know, I thought I would just do a 500. I did not have any problem. I just extended it by another 500 meters. So 1 kilometer walk, and then I thought, let me jog a bit. I did a 1 kilometer jog. Quite an interesting experience, you know, me looking around left and right, you know, what are people thinking about me, and you know, what is there in front of me, where am I putting my foot on. But overall experience was reasonably good, I would say. And at the end of it, I had a feel that I need to do it once again. So that's how I finished it. Next day, I had my regular workout. And then the third day, I thought, as part of a recovery, I again just try it once again. So I did a 5 kilometer easy jog barefoot. Again, that was a positive experience overall. Mm-hmm. You know, though I was a bit cautious and also conscious, you know, on you know, what would people think about me and what's there on the streets. But again, it was a positive experience. The next day, when I ran with shoes, I felt that I could feel something heavy on my feet. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's where I had a fear. In fact, you know, I had a fear that now what is happening to me? You know, I'm not liking the shoes. And I had already been running marathons at that moment, you know. Mm-hmm. So I've done 2 marathons already. So, and I knew for sure that I cannot do a marathon barefoot, because, you know, you can do small distance like 5 or 6 or 10 kilometers is fine, but for sure not longer distance.
Mm-hmm.
So I started this in April, and in 2 months I had a 10K event, and I did it very well. So I did my first 10K race barefoot. And that was a very good experience.
Yeah.
And then I progressed slowly, and in around 6 to 7 months, I did my first half, and then I progressed to a full marathon.
Yeah.
Barefoot. So overall, it was a very good experience. The challenges which I faced was there was no one I could consult with, because mm-hmm. there were very few barefoot runners. So I just knew 2 or 3 of them, so I always used to be in touch with them.
Yeah.
And find out about this.
And would you encourage more people to try barefoot running?
Absolutely. I'm a very strong promoter of barefoot running. So within the city and also in other cities, I have organized barefoot runs, you know, small runs. So I publish and I inform the various members that we will have a barefoot run. An easy run in a specific place. The word is spread, and at any such event, I will always have around 60 to 70 members coming in. And of the 60, 70, at least 50% of them would be first timers who are ever doing barefoot. So they just everyone wants to try it, and you know, they have heard about barefoot, and they cannot do it by themselves. So they just, everyone is there together. Let's all together do it. You know, so they have all removed the shoes for the first time ever and doing it barefoot. So I had also my wife's colleague who had come from New Jersey. You know, for her also, very, she's been a triathlete, and she came first time ever. She did a barefoot walk, and she also enjoyed the experience.
Hmm. Okay, well, that's good to know. And you know, I like that you said how you know, there's always new people trying it, and then you also mentioned at the beginning how slowly you did progress. You know, you started with a walk and you built it up slowly. You didn't just jump into, you know, a 10K run straight off the bat. So that's good to know. And actually, I'm going to recommend you and anyone listening right now, if you haven't already, listen to the Runners Connect podcast with Mark Kukuzela, which is at runnersconnect.net/RC64. And he runs barefoot and he talks about, you know, how to do it and why more people should do it. So I think you and the listeners, if you haven't already, will really enjoy that. So just a few questions, or one more question, I guess, more about barefoot running is, I'm sure a lot of people are wondering this, but how does it not, you know, hurt your foot, or like, you know, did you get blisters? And, you know, you said about it can be dangerous running, or not dangerous, but there can be, you know, things that can hurt you running the streets in Bangalore. But so how did you avoid that?
Yeah, so the most important part here is to transition carefully. Mm-hmm. So that's the most important part. So one has to be extremely patient. So as long distance runners, we cannot just start doing long runs barefoot. So you need to transition, start off with 1 kilometer, 2 kilometers, progress to 5, 10, 15, 20, and every person is different. So I know cases where I have a friend of mine who did his first barefoot half marathon in less than 2 months of practice. So in almost in by the 45th or 50th day of barefoot, he did his half marathon and he was very comfortable with it. While I have another friend of mine who's a big celebrity over here as a model, and he did his first half. It took him almost 2 years to do his first half marathon. Mm-hmm. So every person is different in this. So we need to recognize that you as a person cannot imitate, you know, what someone else has done. So slowly transition, your feet need to get used to it. It's a new form of running, completely a new form, new mm-hmm. set of muscles have been used in your body, which have never been used before. So the body has got its own challenges. They would react. You need to be aware of it. And accordingly, you know, be very careful. For sure, body would complain. So need to be careful and transition. So you need to understand your body. How does it adapt itself to this new form of running? If it finds it good, good for you. You know, keep progressing accordingly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Thank you. Good advice there. And then, okay, so just one more kind of area I wanted to ask you about. So what would you like runners from other parts of the world to kind of take from this interview? You mentioned about how, running in India, definitely at the ground base level is, you know, not great. And I'm sure there's other people listening from other countries around the world where there's a similar thing where it's not as common and not as, you know, well recognized as it is in the US. But how can we help, or how can we all grow the running movement worldwide? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I've been focusing quite a lot in the country, in India, actively promoting this through the different forums, through the different event organizers. Mm-hmm. Actively promoting, never thought at an international level, because in India itself we have been challenged quite a lot, and we support the new runners over here, you know, so that itself is a very big challenge. Mm-hmm. Educate them what is running is not just going out on the streets and just do a run and then you are finished with it. So it comes in a complete package. So you need to strengthen up your body. You need to make your body more flexible. and be stronger such that you can do better runs every day.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a lot of education that needs to be done to the community over here.
Okay.
So that's what I would love to focus on. And it would be great, any sort of support. So like the Runners Connect has been really good. I recently started going through the articles, very helpful. And I would surely want to promote many of them, to read those articles and learn more from this.
Thank you. Well, that's great to hear. And that's kind of what we strive to do. And we hope that we do continue to become a source for people in India and all around the world for, when you do need running advice, and rather than just going out there and doing it, but actually having somewhere to go look that you can trust. And then what advice would you give to people for runners in countries who were from a country that's not typically known as a runner place? Like, what would you like to say to them about starting running? Obviously you've mentioned the importance of strengthening. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah, I mean, runners need to be educated on how to run well. There have to be strengthening, flexibility, and there are different ways one can do strengthening. So one could be through yoga, through the gym, through fitness workouts, through dance, through swimming, cycling. There are so many ways one can be fit and healthy. So identify what would be the correct method to keep yourself fit and also to run strong. So there are multiple opportunities available over here in the country. There are multiple events now being organized. There are lots and lots of runners now learning this. So opportunities are a lot. Utilize them, learn, and get stronger.
Mm-hmm. Great. Great advice and a great way to finish up there. What's the best way for people to follow along with you or to kind of check in what you're doing? Is there an easy way to reach you or a social media channel that you would like to recommend?
Yeah, so as of today, I use Facebook as the channel to communicate. So I can be found as Thomas Bobby Phillip in Facebook.
Okay.
So that would be the easiest way.
Okay.
To be in touch.
Okay. And I will put a link to your running group on the show notes at runnersconnect.net/RC84. And if you would, if you can't find Bobby on Facebook, just send me a little email, tina@runnersconnect.net, and I'll put you straight through to him. Well, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate you kind of giving us an insight into what it's like, and I hope you've enjoyed this as much as I have. I know our listeners are really going to have got a lot from it. So thank you for your time, and let's work together to keep growing this movement.
Thank you so much. Enjoyed this time with you. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't know about you, but I love learning from different runners' journeys and hearing the stories of how they ended up where they were. Bobby was no exception, and I have a feeling he will have a big part to play as India continues to grow with its popularity of running. Bobby invited me to stay with him and his family if I wish to race in India, and someday I really hope I can take him up on that offer. So if you've not already left a review on iTunes, I would really, really appreciate it. It's the best way you can support me and support Runners Connect. There's information on how on the show notes, or you can visit runnersconnect.net/review if you already know how. So until next week, have a great week.